Welcome to today's Daily PBJ Devotional. If you're reading the Old Testament with us this year, read Leviticus 2 and 3, Proverbs 18, and Psalm 90. This devotional is about Leviticus chapter 2. When anyone brings a grain offering to the Lord, his offering must consist of fine flour. He is to pour olive oil on it, put frankincense on it, and bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests. The priest shall take a handful of the flour and oil, together with all the frankincense, and burn this as a memorial portion on the altar, an offering made by fire, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The remainder of the grain offering shall belong to Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the offerings made by fire to the Lord. Now, if you bring an offering of grain baked in an oven, it must consist of fine flour, either unleavened cakes mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers coated with oil. If your offering is a grain offering prepared on a griddle, it must be unleavened bread made of fine flour mixed with oil. Crumble it and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. If your offering is a grain offering cooked in a pan, it must consist of fine flour with oil. When you bring to the Lord the grain offering made in any of these ways, it is to be presented to the priest, and he shall take it to the altar. The priest is to remove the memorial portion from the grain offering and burn it on the altar as an offering made by fire, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. But the remainder of the grain offering shall belong to Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the offerings made by fire to the Lord. No grain offering that you present to the Lord may be made with leaven, for you are not to burn any leaven or honey as an offering made by fire to the Lord. You may bring them to the Lord as an offering of first fruits, but they are not to be offered on the altar as a pleasing aroma. And you shall season each of your grain offerings with salt. You must not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offering. You are to add salt to each of your offerings. If you bring a grain offering of first fruits to the Lord, you shall offer crushed heads of new grain roasted on the fire, and you are to put oil and frankincense on it. It is a grain offering. The priest shall then burn the memorial portion of the crushed grain and the oil, together with all its frankincense, as an offering made by fire to the Lord. That's Leviticus chapter 2. Here comes Leviticus chapter 3. If one's offering is a peace offering, and he offers an animal from the herd, whether male or female, he must present it without blemish before the Lord. He is to lay his hand on the head of the offering and slaughter it at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood on all sides of the altar. From the peace offering, he is to bring an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails, all the fat that is on them, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he is to remove with the kidneys. Then Aaron's sons are to burn it on the altar atop the burnt offering that is on the burning wood, as an offering made by fire, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If, however, one's peace offering to the Lord is from the flock, he must present a male or female without blemish. If he is presenting a lamb for his offering, he must present it before the Lord. He is to lay his hand on the head of his offering and slaughter it in front of the tent of meeting. Then Aaron's sons shall sprinkle its blood on all sides of the altar. And from the peace offering he shall bring an offering made by fire to the Lord, consisting of its fat, the entire fat tail cut off close to the backbone, the fat that covers the entrails, all the fat that is on them, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he is to remove with the kidneys. Then the priest is to burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire to the Lord. If one's offering is a goat, he is to present it before the Lord. He must lay his hand on its head and slaughter it in front of the tent of meeting. Then Aaron's sons shall sprinkle its blood on all sides of the altar. And from his offering he shall present an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails, all the fat that is on them, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he is to remove with the kidneys. Then the priest is to burn the food on the altar, as an offering made by fire, a pleasing aroma. All the fat is the Lord's. This is a permanent statute for the generations to come. Wherever you live, you must not eat any fat or any blood. This is God's word. Leviticus chapter 2 describes how grain offerings were to be made and offered. However, there is no explanation in Scripture about what grain offerings were for, other than to feed the priests. See verse 10a for that. At the very least, this kind of offering gave God's people a way to worship and give thanks to Him for providing for them. It also gave the people a way to bless the priests as they came to worship God. Two regulations stood out about this offering. First, it had to be made without yeast, according to verse 11. Yeast usually, but not always, symbolized sin in Scripture. By insisting that the offering be prepared without yeast, everyone from priest to every person would remember that God is holy and completely without sin. This required the sinner to prepare himself to worship and to approach God with appropriate fear and reverence. The second regulation that stood out in this chapter is the requirement to add salt. Verse 13 says it as clearly as it could be said. This is the NIV's reading of verse 13, but it says this: Season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offerings. Add salt to all your offerings. Not that much is known about this requirement, other than that there is salt everywhere where Israel was going. So it might be an expression of giving thanks for God's faithfulness. Regardless of when or why someone might offer this sacrifice, the requirement not to add yeast was a subtle reminder of God's holiness. Each time they prepared this sacrifice, the lack of yeast emphasized how completely separate God is from evil. This was designed to show the worshiper how imperfect we are so that we would cry out to God for His help. Have you thought recently about how holy God is and how repulsive sin is to Him? Does your life reflect that as you become more like Him, you also, of course, become less sinful? Or are you letting just a little yeast into your life? Let this passage cause you to reflect on where sin might be leaking, even just a little, into your life. Let it cause you to cry out to God for help, removing the sinful yeast from your life. And I hope you have a great day today. May God bless you. We'll see you next time.